left us with how expensive they were and where you can save the most money. Our coverage of Hurricane Ian continues right now at 6 o'clock. The storm is intensifying as it inches closer to Florida's Gulf Coast. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. There's been an evacuation order now. It just went into effect in St. Petersburg in that area, just outside of Tampa. And the latest at this hour, the National Hurricane Center updated the track for Hurricane Ian. We want to go to Mike Mays with the latest on the path as it heads toward Florida and then up into our area eventually, Mike.
And Dan, there's a storm surge warning for the Tampa St. Pete area, 5 to 10 foot storm surge. Going to be devastating for that area. Now, here is the latest on Ian. Top winds are now at 100. That's up from 85 at 2 o'clock. Now, by the time we get the intermediate advisory at 8 o'clock, the winds will probably be higher and even more so at 11 o'clock because it is sitting over very warm ocean water. It is moving to the north-northwest at 13 miles per hour. By the time we get to about 2 a.m., should be a Category 3 storm. 2 a.m. Wednesday morning, Category 4. Closing in on the Tampa St. Pete area, 2 a.m. Thursday with 115 mile per hour winds. Upper level wind shear will start to impact the storm. That's why there is forecast weakening at that point, making its way over the panhandle of Florida by Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock with top winds at 50. And by Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, it's a remnant area of low pressure with 30 mile per hour winds. So by the time it gets here, it's not a hurricane. It's not a tropical storm or depression, just a remnant area of low pressure with a lot of rain. Here are the forecast model plots. Now, the Hurricane Center's forecast based off of this, because you can definitely see pretty much consensus on where the remnants will go, although the newest model plots that we have not had come into our system just yet has the storm a little bit farther to the east. Now, any deviation in the track could spell a different outcome, so keep checking back. We'll have new information at 8 o'clock, which we'll post online, but the new forecast track will come out at 11 o'clock, and it's important to tune in at that point. So the numbers we're seeing right now are based on the current track. We're talking about the potential for 3 to 4 inches of rain across much of the area for the next 7 days, starting really Friday and lasting perhaps into Monday. 4 to 6 inches down east and the mountains could see upwards to 5 inches of rain. A lot of folks could use the rain, although farmers are telling us that their cotton crop doesn't need any rain right now. They're pretty good the way they're set. And the winds, the strongest, will actually happen before the remnants even get here because high pressure is seated up to the north and low pressure to the south, creating what we call a pressure gradient or a strong wind field. So the maximum gusts we could see Thursday and Friday, 32 miles per hour here in Raleigh, 35 in Fayetteville, 38 in Goldsboro. But again, if that track changes, these numbers could as well. Future cast shows the storm, Ian, making its way toward the Tampa area, then over the panhandle. We'll see quite a bit of cloud cover here Wednesday and Thursday. It may be overcast both of those days. And then the rain at this point starts arriving during the day on Friday, lasting into Friday night, Saturday as well. We're also going to be on the lookout for maybe some isolated tornadoes with the remnant low on Saturday and the rain possibly continuing during the day on Sunday. Now, coming up in the next 15 minutes, we'll have a model comparison of Ian's path to see where it may potentially go in the coming days, Dan.
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing that we have to look out for, Mike. Thanks for doing that for us.
When Hurricane Ian makes landfall, power outages could become a very real concern. Florida and the Carolinas are certainly all in the coverage area for Duke Energy and could be in the storm's path as well. WREL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke with the company about how they're preparing for the big demand on their staff.
A Duke Energy spokesman assured me that North Carolina will be covered for this storm, and that is a relief for Floridians we spoke with who came here seeking shelter from Ian.
At RDU International, we found people evacuating from Florida.
I live beachfront, so a little scary.
Banking on the impacts of the storm here being much less severe.
I grabbed the first flight I could get.
Ann Firestein lives in Durham. When she saw the anticipated path of Ian, she jumped on a plane to go get her mom from St. Petersburg, Florida.
My mother lives in assisted living, and so she lives right on the bay. They're getting ready to evacuate, and they're going to have to go in about 2 hours. East.
There's a lot of eyes on Florida in our company right now.
Duke Energy spokesman Jeff Brooks says the company is preparing for a big demand for its workers because not only does Duke serve North Carolina, but South Carolina and Florida as well, all in Ian's path.
We have to make sure that we're protecting our service area here. We would not release crews from the Carolinas until we were certain that our areas are not going to be impacted. Our first priority is always the local community.
Brooks says if needed, Duke can call on its crews in other parts of the country not in the storm's path. And even beyond that, they have partner agencies standing by to assist.
Like moving an army, really. And it's something that we've gotten a lot of experience at, unfortunately, from having a lot of storms.
For those leaving Florida, they are trying to stay calm about things here and back at home.
Because I can't do anything about it, so I'm not going to worry about it now that I'm in safety.
Sarah Kruger, WRAL News.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. Let's talk about what's going on down in Florida right now. This is a live look outside for you. This is in downtown Tampa. Certainly an overcast, wet afternoon there as final preparations are now underway. If people are going to leave St. Pete, Clearwater, Sarasota, they're going to do so tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. As for those flights, it's all going to come to a halt tomorrow afternoon. Specifically, the St. Pete Clearwater International Airport. This is not Tampa International. St. Pete Clearwater is saying the airport terminal will close at 1 o'clock on Tuesday due to the mandatory evacuation order. This photograph really tells the story. This airport right across from Tampa sits right on the water in Tampa Bay, so you'll obviously know why that one's getting kicked out in terms of the evacuation before the main Tampa airport is. We'll certainly watch that in terms of the closures and the effects on flights across the country and specifically down in Florida. This afternoon, the Miami airport seeing a few cancellations and delays. This is all going to start to change a lot tomorrow as that storm continues to move towards Florida. The impacts there, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. We'll have you fully covered right here in WRAL.
Thank you. So imagine sitting outside at a restaurant like this, like so many people do, dining on beautiful nights like we've had recently, when a truck barrels in across the area, across the road, and heading straight for the diners outside. That's what happened last night at Players Retreat. That's a bustling sports bar in Raleigh. Two people and a dog were injured after a man rammed his car into that outdoor seating area. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live with the latest on what I can imagine was a terrifying ordeal for everyone, and now what the restaurant is asking the city to do about it. Chelsea.
Yeah, Dan, this is where it all happened. You can see folks dining on the patio now here at Players Retreat. They spent the morning cleaning up after what we know was a suspected drunk driver that came right through this median here at the traffic circle, landing near the restaurant, pinning a woman between his truck and another car. She was injured, as well as another man and a dog.
Sunday night, you know, at a sports bar, football's going on, lots of people here.
The Players Retreat patio is packed with sports fans enjoying a meal outside on Sunday.
Heard what sounded like an engine roaring and some sort of crashing, and we looked and a truck was coming over the middle of the traffic circle, and we jumped out of the way and it hit, I think, the tables next to us and then hit a car and a couple people.
What was to be a night of fun turned into sheer terror for diners. This is the aftermath of that crash on Oberlin. Splintered trees, flattened and broken signs, and two people hurt, as well as a dog.
Drunk driver jumped the circle, Dukes of Hazzard style, took out a few tables and chairs, pinned one woman between between his truck and a parked car.
Authorities say this man, 28-year-old Jonathan Riles, was driving drunk.
I can't imagine how fast he was going.
Those outside scrambled to get out of harm's way, then called 911.
He seemed mostly concerned about his truck.
This isn't the first time chaos has occurred at this traffic circle. In 2016, a truck did nearly the same thing, causing significant damage to Sam and Bill's hair design right next door.
Now, the general manager here at Players Retreat says they're thinking about possibly putting a partition here right at the end of the patio, just an added safety precaution to keep diners safe. They're also in talks with the city, as well as the hair salon next door, to see about possibly shutting down this very short one-way street. Dan.
Yeah, two times now. I'm sure some people sitting out there tonight wouldn't mind a couple of barriers placed there. Chelsea Donovan reporting live for us. Thank you.
A man accused of killing his mother in a Raleigh neighborhood appeared before a judge this afternoon. 25-year-old Tyler Hawkins is currently being held in the Wake County Detention Center without bond. Officers found 46-year-old Trumelia Hawkins with a gunshot wound Friday afternoon on Griffiths Glen Drive. Police have not said a motive. Hawkins' next court appearance is scheduled for October 17th. Durham police have arrested a man for a sexual assault against a minor, which happened in 2017. 35-year-old John Compton has been charged with statutory sex offense with a child. Investigators believe he lived in Durham from 2017 to 2020 and may have had contact with other juvenile females during that time frame.
Right now, demonstrators are gathered at the Wake County Courthouse in a sign of solidarity with the women of Iran. Here's a live look and a decent-sized crowd there on the steps. The demonstration was organized by the local Persian community. They are protesting the oppressive Iranian government. Last week, a 22-year-old woman died at the hands of Iran's morality police for wearing her headscarf improperly. Her death has sparked global protests.
A major water main replacement project began in Durham today. Work is expected to last 6 weeks along North Roxborough Street between Hammond Street and Lavender Avenue. During the project, North Roxborough Street will be reduced to two lanes, one northbound and one southbound, in this one-block construction area. It's suggested drivers take North Duke Street as an alternate route.
IBMA World of Bluegrass events kick off in Raleigh tomorrow. This event draws tens of thousands of people every year, and WRAL is a proud sponsor. Organizers are in touch with WRAL meteorologists, of course, to keep an eye on Hurricane Ian and any potential impact to the planned events or to our area. As of right now, Bluegrass Live is set to feature dozens of musicians performing on multiple stages all around downtown. You'll need a ticket, of course, to attend those performances.
Sticker shock at the grocery store when everything seems to cost more. What can you do to keep food on the table?
Do you think you're getting a good deal on your groceries? Well, where you shop makes a very big difference. Coming up, a Five on Your Side experiment brings the most affordable places to shop.
Right now, important news about rainbow fentanyl, how cartels have found a new way to market the lethal drug to kids. Also, will NASA's try to nudge an asteroid from its path work? The collision being watched around the world when we see you tonight.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
With prices at the grocery store remaining high, where you shop could be a big difference in saving big or spending unnecessarily.
Five on Your Side's Keeley Arthur put local grocery stores to the test to find out which ones have the best deals.
Five on Your Side went to five different stores, Food Lion, Walmart, Harris Teeter, Aldi, and Dollar General, and bought the same five grocery staples at each one: chicken noodle soup, frozen vegetables, milk, bread, and eggs. The store with the very best deal might surprise you.
Let's do it.
If grocery shopping seems stressful lately,
oh, prices are crazy.
It's probably because you're paying 13.5% more for groceries than you did this time last year. And it's even more for some individual items.
My eggs. You know, I've always bought eggs, what, $1.29, $1.39 for large eggs. They're on special now at $1.99. So they've gone up quite a bit.
40% more than just last year. Bread is up 16% and butter 29%. But you have some power against inflation, and it really comes from where you decide to shop.
Got our milk.
First to Food Lion. Milk, bread, eggs, frozen broccoli, and a can of chicken noodle soup rung up at $12.90. Then over to Harris Teeter. Grand total there, $11.24. Next, Dollar General. Same items, different price, $13.06. Over at Walmart, we had to sub in green beans for broccoli.
Sub it out, I guess, for these.
The total, $10.08. And finally, Aldi. Here, you won't find many of the name brands we purchased at the previous stores, but you will find the very best deal. Aldi was the least expensive at $8.09. Dollar General, the priciest at $13.
Can you still eat really healthy while saving money? Or do you kind of have to make some sacrifices?
So it is definitely possible to eat healthy on a budget.
That's nutritionist Dr. Jessica Soldovini. To accomplish this, buy in bulk.
I've always had two freezers.
Purchase cheaper cuts of meat, in-season fruits and veggies, store brand items. Look at price per unit. Take stock of what you already have in your kitchen and plan ahead.
I think a shopping list is one of the key strategies to eating on a budget before you get to the grocery store. Because if you just go and start wandering around a grocery store, you may be likely to just see things and impulsively purchase them.
Because the cost of food is going up, so is the need.
Hi.
After wrapping up our experiment, we donated the food to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina in Raleigh.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Food pantry managers tell us they are always on the hunt for protein-based items. Think canned chicken, tuna, or peanut butter. They'll, of course, take anything that you generously donate. As for where you can find the very best deals every week, go to WREL Smart Shopper. Keely Arthur, 5 on your side.
What a great resource.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, look, one bag and it was a $5 difference right. between the cheapest and most expensive. You spread that out to your whole week worth of shopping,
that
and
that
could be some real money.
Absolutely.
Mike May's joining us now, and Mike, all eyes on the tropics, and a lot of people here locally just wondering what's it going to look like a week from now.
At this point, we're looking at a lot of rain and a little bit of wind, but you know how things can change with tropical systems. There's a lot of confidence in where it will head between now and say about Thursday, and then there's lesser confidence once it gets past the Tampa area. I'll show you that right now with our model comparison, plus I'm going to overlay the National Hurricane Center forecast track. So the red is the wind field of the European model, the white is the American model, and there is where the storm is located right now. So over time, there's a lot of consensus between the American model and the European model. In fact, pretty much spot on. It's quite impressive. By Tuesday morning at 7, both of the models have it over the western tip of Cuba and the forecast track, pretty much following what the American model and the European model are showing. Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., they're pretty close. I mean, the American model is a little bit faster than the European, and the forecast track from the Hurricane Center mirrors what both models are saying. And even around the Tampa-St. Pete area, by 7 a.m. on Thursday, sitting right offshore, we're talking about a 5 to 10 foot storm surge in the Tampa Bay area. It's going to have devastating local impacts there. And then once the storm gets past Tampa, we start to see a little bit of a deviation, especially by Friday morning and Friday evening at 7 o'clock. The Hurricane Center's forecast track heads it into South Georgia, whereas both the American and the European take it more of a north northwest track. This is where we start to get the biggest deviation. Saturday morning at 7 a.m., the remnant low is getting up near Augusta, Georgia. The center on both of the models is showing it over toward near Columbus, Georgia at that point. And by the time we get to Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, the center of circulation on both the American and European over toward Huntsville. And then on the forecast track from the Hurricane Center, the remnant low is near Augusta. Now, with the model plots coming in, the tropical model plots actually showing it taking more of an eastern route, we've got to wonder what the Hurricane Center's forecast track is going to look like at 11 o'clock. So basically, once we get past Tampa, the forecast fan grows. So there's still a lot of uncertainty where this is going to head, what kind of impacts we'll get here. So keep checking back. At 11 o'clock, we'll have that new forecast track. Things could get interesting later on during the week on where this could go. 82 right now at RDU after 87. Dew points low at 47. They're going to be even lower tomorrow in the 30s. The air's going to be really crisp tomorrow. 82 at Durham, 73 at Roxborough, 81 at Rocky Mount. It's a pleasant evening for a dog walk. 77 at 7 with sunset at 7:06. By 8 o'clock, 71 and mostly clear sky. And hour by hour, we cool down to about 52 in the morning. You'll need your jackets to start the day. And for the first week of fall, 78 for our high tomorrow, 71 on Wednesday, 70 on Thursday. And all this cloud cover is in advance of Ian. Both these days could end up being overcast, and Thursday could be rather windy. Winds from the northeast 15 to 20, maybe winds gusting 30 to 35 miles per hour. And right now, as of right now, if things don't change, this is the timeline for rain. 90% chance Friday night, Saturday day, and Saturday night, and a lesser chance on Sunday. This could change, so keep checking back. So our forecast tonight, mid-40s up toward Roxborough, 54 at Fayetteville, 52 here in Raleigh, a mostly clear sky, and hour by hour tomorrow. What a beautiful day. 87 today to 78 tomorrow with dew points in the 30s. You're going to feel a difference tomorrow and the way it will feel. A lot of sunshine as well. 82 at Fayetteville, 79 at Rocky Mount, 75 in South Hill. Your 7-day forecast, plenty of rain on the way. Wind as well. Winds gusting 30 to 35 for Thursday and Friday. Saturday and Sunday showers and possible storms. We'll watch out for maybe an isolated tornado on Saturday. But this forecast is subject to change depending on where that storm tracks, guys.
You got it. Thanks, Mike. Mm-hmm.
We'll wait to see how that might affect all of the football and outdoor activities for this weekend, Chris.
Yeah, we'll see. But we're still thinking about this past weekend. Panthers fans are celebrating the win, and now The Rock is getting in on that celebration. We'll show you that. Plus, a great weekend of college football is behind us. What NC State has to look forward to, not next week, but next season. That and more after the break.
Reposado. Shout out to The Rock, man. Dwayne Johnson's man. I've been supporting his brand, you know, buying all his Terramana, man. Just, yeah.
To the winner goes the spoils. Carolina Panthers linebacker Frankie Louvu told reporters he'll be kicking back with a glass of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's tequila last night to celebrate the win. Well, The Rock responded on Twitter. He congratulated Louvu and told him that he'd send him a bottle. Both are of Samoan heritage.
We should be very unique here. And we've got a really powerful offense and a chance to be really good. We should take a defense that's really struggling and have a fan base that picks them up. What a concept that would be. Oh, my gosh.
Earlier today, North Carolina head football coach Mac Brown sent a message to fans. Brown acknowledged his team's deficiencies on defense, but he wants fans to be more supportive of the young men he's coaching rather than trash them online. The Hills gave up 576 yards to Notre Dame in their 45-32 loss this past Saturday. NC State is 4-0 and ranked in the top 10, but we're looking ahead to next year. That's because the Pack announced they have added a game against Marshall to their schedule next season. That replaces their game against Cincinnati that had to be canceled because of the Bearcats' move to the Big 12. The Pack will also host Notre Dame and VMI in non-conference action in 2023. NC Central is 4-0 to begin their season, getting a dominant win over Lynchburg Saturday. However, things will pick up for the Eagles this weekend. Head coach Trey Oliver is getting his guys ready for a huge game against Campbell. The team, he says, has an NFL-sized offensive line and a run threat all around.
And this is going to be one of those games. We know that they're going to run the ball. They know where they're going to run the ball. It's all about can you stop it. So we're going to have to strain this week up front. And it's going to be a knockdown, drag out type game.
The Eagles will travel to Buies Creek Saturday to face Campbell. Kickoff is at 6 o'clock. That's going to be a big-time matchup for us.
A few yards and a cloud of dust. I like the sounds of it. Appreciate it, Chris. And thank you for being with us tonight.
See you at 7 with more on Hurricane Ian preparations.